Cub Scouts, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGSC, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson.
Very good.
We recommend this station.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this morning, we're going to speak live with Heather Goodall, the union campaign manager, trying to get to unionize the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Skodak in Rensselaer County. We're also going to hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. Stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. Stream runs through.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that the Greene County Legislature is considering a proposal to supplement the county's senior meal delivery service. During the legislature's County Services Committee meeting July 11th, Ken Brooks, business manager of the Greene County Department of Human Services, discussed the difficulties the agency is experiencing finding volunteers to deliver meals. The county is evaluating a contract proposal from Purr Foods to provide Mom's Meals prepackaged frozen meals to part of its senior client base. Brooks said Mom's Meals has been reaching out to the county for several years, and up until last year there was no problem making deliveries, but now there are far fewer volunteers. If the county enters into an agreement with Mom's Meals, the Iowa company could ship 5 to 10 meals per package to seniors. Brooks said, quote, if we could have the volunteer deliver one meal per week and have the other 4 meals delivered on these routes that are difficult to get to or difficult to have volunteers on, the nutritional value of it is still covered, unquote. The contract would be effective August 1st and run through the end of 2022, and Mom's Meals would be paid a minimum of $6.99 per meal. The committee voted unanimously to approve the contract with a vote by the full legislature to come. Catskill Representative Matt Lavera called on county officials to recruit more volunteers for the meal delivery program, and Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said filling the gaps in the senior meal programming is vital. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com.
Andrea Makel reports for Porcupine Soup that the nonprofit organization Friends of the Cairo Fossil Forest is getting a $170,000 state grant to install fencing around the world's oldest fossil forest. In 2009, a group of land surveyors discovered the historic site off State Route 145 at an abandoned sandstone quarry. Ever since, the curious have trekked to the location, and officials want to protect the land with a barrier. Joseph Hassenkopf, the chair of Cairo's planning board, said, and I quote, "One of the hesitations I have had to try to push it out too much and get support is all the scientists have told me until you have it fenced in, you really don't want people going there," end quote. He added, and I quote, "Talking to different scientists, the type of fencing we are going with is going to have jersey barriers around the entire thing. Then the fence would be attached to that, so we are not drilling into the ground or potentially causing some additional erosion or destruction to the forest itself. Hopefully that will get done before the snow flies, but it all depends on when the town actually gets the money," end quote. In 2019, a research team led by faculty at Binghamton University and Cardiff University in England identified Cairo's fossil forest as the world's oldest. William Stein, emeritus professor of biological sciences at Binghamton University, said, and I quote, "The Devonian period represents a time in which the first forest appeared on planet Earth. So many dramatic changes occurred at that time as a result of those original forests that, basically, the world has never been the same since," end quote. Previously, a fossil forest in Gilboa had been deemed the planet's oldest. And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that the state's cap on property tax increases will be set at its uppermost limit of 2% this year, State Controller Tom DiNapoli's office announced on July 13th. New York set its property tax limit to the rate of inflation or at 2%, whichever is lower. This is the fourth time since 2019 that municipal governments have had their tax levy capped at that amount. The decision comes as increased federal aid for local governments related to the COVID-19 pandemic is set to end. The 2% limit will impact tax calculations for counties, towns, fire districts, 44 cities, and 13 villages that have fiscal years aligned with the calendar year. The cap does not apply to the state's largest municipality, New York City. The inflation factor for this year has been calculated at 7.17%, and more than half of the state's various municipalities that set their budgets on the calendar year could have costs that exceed the amount of pandemic aid they were set to receive. New York's tax cap has been in place for the last 10 years as a mechanism to limit growth in the highest property taxes in the country. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that construction resumed July 11th on the Wire Events Center in Coxsackie after the project got a stop work order because constructions differed from approved plans, violating the village code. Construction is still not allowed on the Wire's kitchen and deck, two elements of the events center still under review by the planning board. but the rest of that project is now back in construction. But a new work permit for the adjoining Newberry Hotel is still under discussion, and construction there is still at a standstill. The planning board next meets at 6 p.m. July 21st, where this massive project at the center of the village of Coxsackie will be discussed. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that New York State Environmental Conservation Forest Rangers on July 9th rescued a 12-year-old boy from Brooklyn when he fell off a stone staircase and down a steep slope at Catterskill Falls. The incident involved Rangers Dawson Fox and Skulderlerik, who responded to the falls after a report of an injured hiker. Dawson located the child, treated his unstable arm injury, and determined he could walk without bringing in additional rescue personnel for carryout. Dawson helped the boy and his family to the Route 23A trailhead, where Hunter Ambulance was waiting to take him to Albany Medical Center. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that a survey released July 12th by the National Federation of Independent Business says that inflation is the number one concern of New York's small business owners. NFIB's New York State Director Ashley Raslow said, and I quote, "Small businesses continue to face severe economic headwinds with unrelenting inflation, supply chain disruptions, and labor shortages, driving expectations for better business conditions to a record low," end quote. He added, and I quote, "It is imperative that New York State does everything it can to alleviate the strain small businesses are under by taking steps to address the state's $8 billion outstanding federal unemployment insurance debt and reject legislation that increases workers' compensation premiums. Now is the time to reduce costs and hold the line on any proposal that makes it more difficult for mainstream businesses," end quote. In the survey, 34% of business owners reported inflation as the main issue their business faces. Low inventory and higher costs mean more businesses are increasing their prices, although some claim businesses are profiting on the post-pandemic economic conditions. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
Now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, scattered showers with thunderstorms also possible after 11 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 81 degrees. Thursday night will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 82 degrees. And Friday night mostly clear with a temperature low of around 59 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
Thursday, July 14th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. Including at 10 a.m., Cheryl Kay's Situation Fluxus show speaks with bassist Mark Wade about his fourth album, True Stories, that's just out. At 2 p.m., it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth, the show that brings you the week's news set to brand new music. At 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news as we tell you more about the January 6th congressional hearings. At 4 p.m., the WGXC afternoon show is live from Hudson with Tom DiPietro and Cella Graham. At 7 p.m., we go live to Philmont with the Philmont Media Project and Heath Iverson's show Movies on the Radio. Then at 8 p.m., we go live to Catskill with Joanna Matry and Gloyd performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. 9 p.m. we go to Toronto with Andrew O'Connor and his Disco 3000 show. And then at 10 p.m. we're live from Columbia County with the Magic Stranger Show on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the better weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to WGXC.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland. Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
Back in LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11. Some restrictions
apply. Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, July 14th. Summer is setting up a pattern for early morning temperatures. The coolest part is just south of Albany County. Right now, 57 degrees in Durham, to the warmest region over by Red Hook, coming in at 63 degrees. Soil is 68 degrees. It looks like we got slight chances for rain lingering today, and we will see a high of 83 at 4 p.m. Overnight, things dry out and we get some comfortable sleeping weather as we see a low of 57 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry with a high of 84 again, and it will have some light winds and dew points comfortably in the upper 50s. 60 degrees overnight takes us into a dry and warm Saturday with a high of 86, much like last weekend. Sunday, however, rain chances come back and we see a high of 89. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:44 a.m., then low tide at 10:45 a.m. High tide again at 4:21 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:50 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:17 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:28 a.m. Looking way up, we see a relatively quiet planetary neighborhood with a 10% chance of X-class flares happening today. Solar wind speed is currently 563 kilometers per second at 12.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 15 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 101. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bella Jansons of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From July 14th through July 28th this year, WGXC is trying to keep quiet about its pledge drive. Usually we have 3 pledge drives per year, and we're trying to cut it down to 2 because we appreciate you, the listener, so much. We're trying to do everything in a sustainable fashion. And we know sometimes listening to long pledge drive pitches isn't the best kind of radio to listen to. So we're trying to keep the pitches off the radio as much as possible this year, with one of our 3 pledge drives going silent, this June 14th through June 28th pledge drive. But we still need your help. We've been trying for a couple years. We moved to a model of sustainable support. We're trying to get $5,000 pledged to us every month by people in the local community, the local listenership, the international listenership of the station, to support it, and so we can create a budget where we know money's coming in. We're also trying to do everything we can to lower our budget. We just put solar panels on the Wave Farm roof, and we are now a solar-powered radio station, no longer sending checks to despots in foreign countries to attack democracy. Instead, we're trying not to pollute the ether when we send out our signals. We sent out hopeful messages of communities, folks working together on projects, events, arts, and to improve our community. So that's why we're asking you to make a pledge during our silent pledge drive, to keep the pledge drive off the air and online only. Go to wgxc.org/donate, and you can just chip in $5 a month. That's 17 cents a day. If you can spare 17 cents a day because you spend some time with the local airwaves, or you just want to make sure that local youth keep getting to do shows and learning valuable media skills they'll use for the rest of their lives in all sorts of jobs, or if you just want to make sure that some of the local senior citizens have something great to do to tell their stories to the community and to share their experiences with music and more, consider going to wgxc.org/donate. We're here to put you on the air and give you access to your own public airwaves. We're here to put the unheard voices on the air, the unheard voices of frogs and fishes and turtles and birds, owls. You hear it all on WGXC and our associated web streams you can go to. At any time, you can hear 6 or 7 different flavors of Wave Farm Radio or Community Radio or WGXC Radio. All together now, our local news channel is going 24/7. If you just need to know the news right now, you can go listen to that. You can listen to the Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphones inside the Wave Farm Pond. You can listen to the test site for Acoustic Commons, the microphone out in the woods at Wave Farm. Quintron's weather warlock is taking the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature and turning them into sound. And Quintron's traffic sacks is monitoring comings and goings on Route 23 in Acre. So chip in 17 cents a day, $5 a month if you can, and become our latest sustaining supporter anytime between July 14th and July 28th, or anytime at all. You can help reduce pledge drives on air and increase community radio activity. Donate if you listen to Democracy Now! Donate if you love the better weather. Because there's no place else on the Upper Hudson Dial to get this sort of radio. Please consider going to wgxc.org/donate and making a difference today in your community. That's WGXC.org/donate, becoming the latest sustaining supporter at WGXC. Promising to keep the local in local radio, to keep all sorts of different voices on the air at 90.7 FM, the one frequency that's open to the public.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We reported back in May on the Federal Elections Commission deadlock over alleged secret payments benefiting Trump family members. The complaint alleges Trump family members and insiders financially benefited from sweetheart contracts paid out by a political action committee supporting President Trump's re-election campaign. The Campaign Legal Center has now filed a lawsuit contesting that decision. Based on 2020 reporting by the Business Insider, the Make America Great Again PAC allegedly misreported the payees of payments made to American Made Media Consultants, LLC, set up by Jared Kushner. The LLC had Vice President Pence, Laura Trump, and Kushner as board members, among others. American Made Media Consultants was reported to have been paid $617 million from the PAC, and some of that money was used to compensate Trump campaign staffers and the partners of his adult children, violating campaign transparency rules. Despite significant evidence, the FEC's three Republicans and three Democrats deadlocked on whether further investigation was warranted. The Campaign Legal Center lawsuit contests that decision, pointing out that the commissioner's reasonings for rejecting the complaint don't stand up to legal scrutiny. They ask that the court invalidate the FEC's dismissal and that the alleged violations be investigated. Stay tuned for more on this story. We have links to articles and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
And we are back on the WGXC morning show. I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and now we are joined on the phone by Heather Goodall, a union campaign manager trying to get the Amazon Fulfillment Center in Skodak in Rensselaer County unionized. Did I get all that right, Heather?
You did. Yep, it's Heather. Yes, absolutely. I'm the union campaign manager for the Skodak Amazon warehouse. We're very excited to be moving forward. We actually have already started our online signatures, and we're doing very well with that. So hopefully by the end of the week, at the end of the rally, we'll have our, 60 to 70%.
So before we get to the specifics, I'm excited to talk to someone who's a union organizer. We hear a lot of reports that there is a lot more interest in unions these days, but you seem to have on-the-ground knowledge about this issue.
Yes. a little-known fact, I was actually a New York State Department of Finance insurance agent and a benefit advisor for two of the largest unions in the state of New York. So I do have that experience and that background. I also ran a marketing firm, which is how I discovered some of the HR challenges within the warehouse. So, yes, I do come to the table with some experience.
And so why do you think more people are interested in unions these days?
Because I think that employment practices such as Amazon have gotten away with so many state and federal violations for so long that employees are finally saying that they've had it and they've seen, what the employers have done in terms of abusive employment practices. The injuries are on the rise. The other thing is the cost of living has gone up, but our wages have not. So we're not even earning a living wage. And I think employees are finally at the point where we are demanding for change, and that's not going to happen. And we need to hold these employers accountable for the, the lack of wages, the lack of safety protocol. And I think workers are finally seeing strength in our numbers.
And Amazon is a good example of what one might call the problem with capitalism these days. That it's almost like we're back in the late 1800s.
there's a sort of gilded age, and Amazon controls so much of the market that it is sort of gets away with a lot of stuff, it seems like. Is that a proper way to put it?
That's 100% accurate, and here's the thing. You use the word control, and that's exactly what's happened. Amazon has skillfully and tactfully controlled not only the market, but also the employees, and they are disposing of employees. So the fact that they have gotten so large so quick, it's created a sense of greed, and that greed has had complete, they've been able to dismiss the fundamental rights of workers. Because if you think about it, that control extends to consumers, and consumers, we do need Amazon. And that's the thing. You know, we had a petition that were up to 1,500 signatures in less than 2 days, calling on consumers to recognize the working conditions. And the word boycott was used. And that, you know, is an interesting word, because on one hand, a boycott, you know, would be fantastic in terms of getting us to be recognized. But on the other hand, there are consumers that do need Amazon to purchase specialty foods, or people that can't leave their homes. And we've seen that need grow even during the pandemic. All we're asking is that we continue to utilize the benefits of Amazon, but we are calling on them to, you're absolutely right, we don't live in the 1800s. We don't live in an era where, you know, working conditions are not recognized by state and federal law. They need to comply with those state and federal laws, and they're not doing it because they control the market and the workers.
And if we'll get now to Skodak specifically, but that facility, I believe the neighbors were very much against and have been protesting ever since the idea of building it came up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I do believe that relates to two major issues that I've researched. Number one is, you know, the funny thing is within the warehouse, I actually left by ambulance a week and a half ago, and I'm out for a month. And one of the symptoms I was experiencing was vertigo, and that's very common in the warehouse. And many people who know me know I got into this because I did lose my oldest son 6 years ago. He was one of several employees that worked for GlobalFoundries that died. So when that happened, I educated myself not only on corporate culture, but also toxic exposure. So I know one of the residents' concern is the fact that there's an increase in toxins released into the air, specifically the trucks. So I know that the releases since the warehouse has been there has been a concern. The other thing, which I'm waiting on a report now, is the increase in ambulances and EMS arrival to the warehouse. From what I understand, in less than 2 years, there's been over 100 ambulance responses. So clearly, you know, with that increase, and what's going to happen if that continues, then taxes are more than likely going to go up to accommodate volunteer firefighters, volunteer EMS. So there is some specific concerns in addition to the increase in traffic, and Amazon has been very irresponsible in that aspect.
So you're reporting that ambulance visits to the facility are over 100 a year, and what are those, why are the ambulances going to the facility?
Okay, so in terms of reporting, I am waiting for confirmation on that specific number, so I don't want to give you I don't want to state that as mm-hmm. a fact. Gotten that report. However, there has been conversations in the warehouse that have said, yes, there have been over 100 ambulance arrivals since it opened in September 2020, so in less than 2 years. So that being said, some of the responses, for example, dehydration, injuries, sprains, like I went because I was very close to a heart attack, and that's why I'm out for a month. I had a heart condition. I was still placed on a piece of equipment that I shouldn't have been operating due to the medical documentation provided. But of course, as across the board with several other examples, there is medical documentation being provided that's falling on deaf ears. So people are returned to physicians, causing, I know that somebody got their finger caught in the conveyor belt. So that was one. My heart. We did have another employee that suffered a stroke in the warehouse on Thanksgiving. We have the U-boats are broken. So a U-boat is a very large piece of equipment. And because they're broken, they've caused injuries to people's shins. People's concussions, I know, is one. People are loading the ship on the ship dock. For example, yesterday it was very hot. And there's no air conditioning going into the back of the truck. So people are loading the trucks when the trucks are reaching temperatures in excess of 105 degrees. They're not given additional breaks to rehydrate. And then they get in trouble if they go to the bathroom for time off task. So people are reluctant to stay hydrated because they're not given additional breaks. So there is a variety of injuries and concerns that are being addressed that is causing the EMS arrival.
And it sounds like a sort of high-pressure operation.
High pressure is definitely an understatement. When you say high pressure, that is, I think, relating to a primary cause for injury. Because if you have people that are trained for one day, which is another opposition of mine, how can you train somebody to operate an 8,000-pound piece of equipment or even operate on a conveyor belt when we also learned the conveyor belts have been manually modified to accommodate boxes that exceed the manufacturer's suggestion. So now that conveyor belt is operating at a rate that is non-compliant. So clearly between the lack of training and the quota, it causes injury. People are expected, for example, to pack. I mean, I don't know how this is even possible, but for example, I'll give you a picker. So a picker, you have to get 45 items an hour. So you have this 8,000 piece of equipment that you're trained for one day. You get a list of items that you have to retrieve. And I encourage you to look at the photos that I've taken on the inside over the course of the last couple months to see the fact that not only are we expected to make these unattainable quotas, 45 an hour, loading of 200 an hour, but we're also expected to do it with collapsing bins, items falling off of shelves, broken U-boats, a modified conveyor belt, and the expectations, I mean, they're dangerously high. Dangerously is the word I want to impress upon. And once you look at the photos and you listen to that word dangerously high expectations, that's where the injuries are mostly coming from every day. Because if you don't attain those expectations, you will get fired. It's a fact.
And so what specifically are you guys trying to do? You're trying to start a union at this facility, or is there going to be a vote? What can people do? Tell us about the process.
Okay, so over the last couple of months, we have met with the Teamsters on several occasions. We also met with the RWDSU, and we ultimately decided to work under the ALU. So we are looking to, we are working with the ALU. However, we are also looking to make history right here in New York again with the Joy Silk. So if we get our, you know, our goal is to get to 70% of employees to vote and in Skodak. And if we do that, then we can, our attorneys will work on the Joy Silk doctrine. And we can make history again, and then we can demand recognition. That is our end goal, is to demand recognition under the ALU by Amazon. We're actually in the process of creating another online petition to ask consumers to support us in demanding for that recognition.
And is this, how often do Amazon facilities get unionized? I mean, I think people have heard about the Staten Island vote and the harassment of that, the leader of that cause. But across the country, is this normal or is this a very rare occurrence?
Okay, so the first the first answer to that question is, it's not just the leader in Staten Island that has been harassed. It is across the board with all of the employees in Staten Island that have been fired, that have been harassed, that have been threatened, and that's happening at our warehouse too. I get text messages on a daily basis of people that are in fear of being retaliated against or have been fired. I actually was able to get one of the employees their job back. I do have HR experience, so I'm able to kind of look at some of the retaliation and fight against it. So the first part is the retaliation and the harassment is across the board with all employees. So the second part is Staten Island did make history in achieving their 55% of signatures. So they were able to petition the NLRB. However, Amazon has done nothing but fight the ALU in terms of recognition. So we have the vote. Amazon just refuses to recognize the union and allow us to move forward with a contract. That's how greedy, abusive, and controlling Amazon is. They know that their employment practices not only violate the law, they really, really think that they're above the law. That's the message that consumers need to understand. Consumers are not above the law, workers are not above the law, and neither is Amazon. Yet they think that they are. So they have filed objection after objection, fighting us on to recognize our union. And we need help, because without that, our employees in Skodak make $15.50 an hour, if they're lucky. Their raises are a quarter. How much did gas go up? I believe 60% in the last year. I mean, and if you walk into a grocery store, I got paid, $300. And what am I going to buy or pay with that? So Amazon is going to continue to pay as little as they can to avoid accountability for, do you know that we, six people died last year at one of our warehouses. Do you know that two people died? One of them suffered a stroke and died at the warehouse in Alabama an hour and a half after they went to AmCare and asked for help. And they died. So Amazon is literally killing people. And they fail to recognize the union. So, yes, we need that desperately.
So is there anything people can do locally, or can you find out, can you give out a website with more information, or what specifically are you, is there going to be a vote soon, or are you just trying to get signatures, or what's going on?
Yeah. So right now we are getting our signatures from ALB1 in Skodak. So we want to encourage employees, you are safe, you are protected, and you have the right to sign up that petition that we, or the signature cards, the authorization. We need help from our community to support us. You can go to ALB1 Voices United on our Facebook. So that's ALB1 Voices United on our Facebook. We also have a rally on Sunday at 11 o'clock in Washington Park. We're confirming that it will be at the Lake House today. So we need community to support us. Food donations. Our employees are on food stamps and running. Our employees are sleeping in their cars. So we desperately need donations. We desperately need support. They can also contact me if they are willing to contribute. And even let our employees know we are behind you, we support you, and we will help you to demand for recognition. My number is 518-225-3803. If there's any, we asked Price Chopper to donate cupcakes on Sunday, just to the rally. So we desperately need that support to send the message to our employees that they can feel free and they feel safe to vote.
And what would you say to just the casual shopper who uses Amazon? Do you want them to continue shopping? Do you want them to send a message? What would you say to them?
Yes, please. When you order, I encourage, when you order on Amazon, when you hit that click button, please go to the ALB1 Voices United site. please take a moment to sign the petition to recognize the union. Look at the photos, look at the working conditions, and demand that Amazon recognize the union so that we can work safely to fill those orders. Like I said, we understand people can't leave their homes. They need to order. They need specialty foods. People need things for their children, their babies. You know, when we were running low on formula, you know, it is available. So we do want to support that. We do need our jobs. But we do need that union recognized so that we can support our families and we can work safely and we can, you know, continue to work together towards the union. That's what we need. We need the union desperately. When people, as much as people need Amazon to order, we need the union.
All right. Well, can you give us that website one more time if people are interested in more information?
Absolutely. It's A as in Apple, L as in Larry, B as in boy, the number one, voices with an S, united, and that's ALB boy, sorry, ALB1, voices united, and that's our Facebook page. We're also on Twitter, but the best bet is to go to our Facebook page because I can respond to that rather quickly.
All right. Thank you, Heather Goodall, for getting us up to date on what's going on in at the SCODEC Amazon Fulfillment Center and the unionization efforts there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll be back on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. You're listening to the WGXC Morning Show. If you were trying to call during that interview, we were cutting you off because it was making noise in the interview. But if you want to get through now, you can. So call back. And you're listening to the radio, 518-622-2598 is the number to call and go on the air. You can also leave a three-minute audio letter to the editor anytime at WGXC at 518-291-9492. That's 518-291-WGXC. And we are in our silent summer pledge drive. You can call 518-697-7400 to make a donation or go to wgxc.org/donate to keep creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. You're one spot on the dial that the public is welcome. Food Man takes us out of the WGXC morning show. On time, we're live in Accra. Cheryl Kay is standing by with the Situation Fluxus show next. She's talking to bassist Mark Wade about his new album. Stay tuned. We've got a day full of interesting sounds. We'll go live to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill this evening. We'll be in Hudson later this afternoon live on the WGXC afternoon show. Stay tuned to your creative community radio station, 90.7 FM, WGXC. And consider making a donation during our Silent Summer Pledge Drive at wgxc.org/donate. Thank you.